Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it. But do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on the shoulders of others. But they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbis, for you have one teacher and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, this one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I think, you know, now that we're social distance, we don't really have this problem, but I think this is probably one of the reasons that so many people sit in the back of the sanctuary, because you don't want to be put in that group with the Pharisees trying to get the best spot. But at what point does our definition of best spot change, where like the back row is now the best spot? So maybe you should be coming up to the front. I don't know. I feel like we've been just going at the scribes and the Pharisees for like a month and a half now. And I'm almost starting to feel bad for the guys. Because every scripture that we've read this past, it feels a long time, Jesus has just been going out after these guys, telling everybody how bad they are, how awful they are. And just part of me wants to just be like, they're people too. Jesus, why you gotta keep coming after them? But I have to get that out of the way because I know they're probably bad people. But here we go. They tie up heavy burdens that are hard to bear, and they lay them on other shoulders. Do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they teach. Hypocrites. Saying one thing, doing another. And again, I'm tired of going after the Pharisees, so I wanted to be a little more introspective with us today. What are those times, what are those things that we like to profess that we don't always follow through with? I'm up here talking about tolerance, patience, loving everyone, being welcoming. I have to tell you a story from college, though, that goes against those things. I went to Barton College, which is a Disciples of Christ school in Wilson, North Carolina, formerly Atlantic Christian College. Our biggest rival was Mount Olive. I hate Mount Olive. I don't even eat Mount Olive pickles anymore. I'm serious. That's how bad it is. Now, we were a basketball school. Actually, my freshman year, we won the Division II National Basketball Championship. I say we, of course. We won the national championship. And so, one day, it was our turn to play Mount Olive over at Mount Olive. Now, Mount Olive was another small school with a passionate student body. And there was one student, I never cared to learn his name. He was a bigger, red-haired guy, and he always took his shirt off. It was this thing. And he sat over there. We were always over here on our side. He was right over there. Always just mean and nasty. We're playing at Mount Olive. Beat us by like 1 point. Our guy was driving down the lane, little finger roll layup, front rim, bounced off. Like 2 inches away from winning this basketball game. We were dejected. It was awful. As we're leaving, this guy, knucklehead, decided to make it his job to come around to the opposing team's exit and stand by the door still shirtless. It was cold. I don't know why I didn't have clothes on. And let us know how awful we were. He used the S word, suck. How bad we sucked. Me and my friend Charlie were walking out. We see this guy. He's coming at us. And Charlie says, well, I just want to tell you good game. It was a good game. So, I didn't. I just want to tell you guys suck. I wanted to punch that guy in the face. Oh, my gosh. Like, what's the point? I have no use for this guy. Whatever tolerance, welcome, there's just none of it there. I hate that guy. I don't like Mount Olive pickles. I don't like any. I'm serious. Don't feed me a Mount Olive pickle. I don't like them. So there are times when all of us fall short of even our own examples and our own ideas of what we like to hold dear to ourselves. Now, part of me is like, it's college, sporting event. It's all right to be, hold some hatred in your heart for your rivals. But then when I really get down to it, I want to be better than that. I don't even want this pointless, useless situation that I was in to say anything about who I am and the ideals that I hold. And the more I get to reading this scripture, I think what I've come to decide, and of course we talked about it in Sunday school, is that all of our starting point is the most important part. If I'm professing tolerance, if I'm professing patience, if I'm giving instruction to my friend, Madeline, you folks, am I doing that from a place of humility? Am I doing that from a place of love? And am I doing it in such a way that is uplifting all of us? And then with my actions, what's the starting point of my actions? I didn't punch the guy in the face. So that was a good start. But those times when my actions don't line up to my professed ideals, what's the starting point for those actions? I used the example in the Friday email about, you know, child raising. Tell Madeline she can't have a bunch of candy after dark. Tell Madeline she's got to go to bed early. And then I like to eat candy and ice cream and bake cookies at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? I give Madeline those instructions and those boundaries from a place of love. These are all things that are going to help her grow and be healthy. I just discard them because I'm an adult and I'm a grown man. I could do what I want in my own house. But when I profess love and I profess patience and tolerance, and then I get upset when somebody cuts me off, or I get bent out of shape about a Facebook post and want to fire something back, am I doing those things out of a place of love and tolerance? Or say the example of the Facebook post. Am I just trying to prove how smart I am? Am I just trying to make somebody else look bad in what they've posted? Am I just trying to build myself up? Or am I trying to build up all of those around us? The person I'm interacting with, the people that read those comments, are these things that we're building each other up? And the last thing that I finally had to click in my head about this scripture is that Jesus' audience from the past few weeks has changed. He's not talking to the scribes and the Pharisees anymore. When he was telling those parables about how awful they are, he was talking to them. He was right up there with them. But verse 1 says, he said to the crowds and to his disciples. Sort of recaps his feelings about the scribes and Pharisees. And then he changes. He flips the switch. You are not to be called rabbi. You shall not call anyone on earth your father. You are not to be called instructors. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. He turns the corner from talking to the Pharisees, transitions talking about them, and then finally gets to the point of instructing the crowd and his disciples. He takes this example of what he believes to be bad scribes and Pharisees, bad actions and bad things that they're doing, as a way to instruct his followers. Don't be like them. Yeah, their position has authority. Listen to what they say. But don't be like them. Don't try to put yourself up on a pedestal and have folks call you rabbi or teacher because of the way you're interacting and the things that you're saying. Don't seek out validation from other people. You've got one teacher. You've got one instructor. Don't seek that out from the people around you. You've got one Father, your Father in heaven. Take care of what you can take care of. Humble yourself. May your actions not be guided by trying to be built up by other people on earth. But may you be humble. May you seek out God's blessing. May you seek out the building up of the community around you. Now, if I can get that and live it, instead of just coming up and saying it, I'll be doing a lot better. I hope we can all get a little bit closer to living humbly, lifting up one another, being in community of faith with each and every one of us. Amen.